Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, hopefully you do, you're going to need it. We're going to turn over to Revelation. And so go ahead and turn there. Revelation 1. Revelation 1. And I'll just kind of tell you why we're doing Revelation. We have studied this before in Wednesday's Word. This is what we call what we do on Wednesday morning, our Bible study time here. We call it Wednesday Word because what we do is we just go through the Word of God. And so what we're going to do with the book of Revelation, and I'm just warning you now, it's going to take some time. We are going to go through the Word of God, and specifically the book of Revelation. And we will go through just verse by verse, and we will see what God has to say and what God reveals, because God reveals in His Word not only who He is, but what He has done, what He is doing, and what He is going to do. God reveals that. And listen to me, it's not a mystery. And I think we have made this book in particular a lot harder than it needs to be. A lot harder than it needs to be. And so I'm not going to tell you I can explain it to you because I can't. But I believe through the Holy Spirit of God, and I believe through just simply talking about these verses word by word, God will reveal things to you and unveil things to you that you have never seen, hopefully. And so that's what we're going to do. And the reason we're kind of doing this is, again, we did this back about 2019 and 2020. Of course, COVID kind of got us in 2020, but it took us about 3 years to get through this. But when we did this back then, we did not record it, and we did not video it or podcast it. And so since then, I have had so many people ask me if I would teach the book of Revelation again. And so I can do this on Sunday morning, and I have taught through some of Revelation on Sunday morning. But the problem I have on Sunday morning is, number one, I'm limited on time on Sunday mornings, but I'm also limited a little bit in the group that I am talking to on Sunday mornings. And so just think about it from my perspective, just what a Sunday morning looks like for me. I mean, we have two services, but in our services, we have a wide range of people in our services, a wide range of ages in our services, a wide range of Bible knowledge in our services. I mean, it is difficult to communicate to that broad an audience. It really is, especially a book like Revelation. It's difficult to do that. So in a setting like this, where we have ample time, because I can go as long as I want to. Now, I know y'all want to eat lunch, so I won't go too long. But I can go longer than I normally go on Sunday mornings. But when I talk from a time perspective, I'm talking weekly, monthly, yearly, by the way, because it's not going to happen in 1 year. This is going to take us probably 3 years to go through this, okay? So I hope you're committed. But it's just going to take time. I mean, it just takes time to go in depth and to understand what I believe God is saying to us through the book of Revelation. Now, one thing to understand about Revelation, and please understand it is Revelation, not Revelations. It doesn't have a plural on it, right? Okay? That's just a pet peeve of mine, so if you say it, I'm not going to call you out, but I'm thinking it, okay? But I know why we do that. I mean, think about the books in your Bible. Most of them have an S on the end, and they're plural because, like, Ephesians is talking to the church at Ephesus, people in Ephesus, right? Or Philippians, or Galatians, or even Acts, okay? So we put a plural on everything, and we tend to do that with Revelation, and we say Revelations. Well, it's not Revelations, it's Revelation. It's just one Revelation, no S on the end of it. But throughout church history, the book of Revelation has divided the church. I mean, think about it. It has divided the church on the way people view it, on the way people interpret it, and on what people think it means, right? Please hear this. God didn't give us this book to divide us. He gave us this book to unite us and to excite us, because this is the climax of the Bible. This wraps it all together. I'm telling you, when we get to the end, and it's going to be a while, but it should excite you when we get to the last few chapters of Revelation, because it's the best part of the Bible. It is the best part of the Bible. But for far too long, the church would rather argue about it than come together around it. Well, that's wrong. And that's satanic is what that is. And we're not going to do that. Okay? And I'll tell you up front, you're probably going to have a different view of Revelation than I have. Okay, you're wrong, but that's okay. You can have that view. But I do not have a traditional Southern Baptist view of Revelation that you were taught and that even I was taught, because it's wrong. And I'm going to tell you why it's wrong, but it's wrong. Now, a lot of it is true. And a lot of what you've been taught is exactly right. But some of it's not. Okay, and let me tell you how I know. And let me tell you how I'm going to teach Revelation. And this is how I preach. This is how I do everything. I let the Word of God speak. Because I think the Word of God does speak, because God is a God who speaks, right? If you don't believe that, go read the very first part of the Bible. Go read Genesis 1. Go read how many times the Bible says this, and God said, and God said, and God said. God is a God who speaks. How do I know? Well, go read John 1. When we are introduced to Jesus Christ, how are we introduced to Jesus Christ? The Word became flesh. Well, what is Word? Well, you got to speak words, okay? You can read them, but they're spoken. That's what it means. The Word, the voice of God, became flesh. Okay, so God speaks. And so I believe the way you interpret the Bible is with the Bible. You don't go to a commentary and let the Bible be interpreted by a man. I hate that. Now, that doesn't mean I don't read commentaries. I do read commentaries. But especially concerning the book of Revelation, what we have done throughout the centuries is we have given the ideas of man about this book rather than letting the Bible interpret this book for itself. Correct? Well, that is 100% correct. And so I don't do that. I'm not going to stand here and quote you 45 different people and preachers and theologians from the past. I'm not going to do that. And it doesn't mean they're all wrong. They're right in some cases. But I think it's important for God to interpret this book. Because guess what? He does it for us through the Word. Now, it takes some digging, and you have to figure it out, and you have to find it, and it's not always easy. But the Bible interprets the Bible. And so that's how we're going to interpret the book of Revelation. Through the Bible, through God's Word. Does that make sense? Okay, so let me say just a few more things before we actually get into the book. I will not be able to explain everything in the book of Revelation. Okay, I wish I could. I wish I could, but I cannot. And guess what? No one else can either. And if they tell you they can, you call them a liar, because they are a bald-faced liar. I promise you that. No one can explain everything in this book. No one. Because guess what? Some things are a mystery. You know what Deuteronomy 29:29 says? It says this, the secret things belong to God. Okay, that's a good verse to memorize. Because there are secret things in your life and in my life that I don't understand. There are secret things in this world that I cannot figure out. I don't understand. And there's going to be a lot of secret things in this book that I cannot explain to you. Okay, I can't do it. So I will not be able to answer every question you have. I won't be able to explain everything you have, because there are secret things that belong to God. Now, think about this, and you might argue with me on this, but I don't think I'm wrong on this. Even when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, he couldn't explain everything. Now, that sounds almost blasphemous, right? But do you know what Jesus says about the day and the hour in which he was to come? I don't know when it is. Only the Father in heaven knows that. Okay, so Jesus said it, not me. Now, let me explain that so you understand this. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, when the Word came, how did the Word come? As flesh, John 1:14, okay? The Word became flesh. So Jesus Christ came to this earth and He became like whom? God? He became like us, right? So God became flesh. Jesus became flesh. And as flesh, that limited some of His divinity. Now, was He God? 100% God. Was He flesh? 100% flesh. But how did Jesus Christ have to live on this earth?
As we did.
As we did, exactly like us. He had to walk with the Father and obey the Father. He says it. I always do the will of the Father. He didn't do His own will. He did the will of the Father. He had to do it how? In the power of the Holy Spirit. How did He speak to a storm and say, hush, be still, and it be still? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because He was flesh. He was God in the flesh, but He was still flesh. So when Jesus Christ walked this earth, He didn't know things exactly how they were going to unfold and when He was going to come back. Now He is sitting in heaven, right? Okay, does He know those things now? 100%, you better believe it. Okay? Because He's no longer flesh. Correct? Yeah, He's sitting at the right hand of God. He is God. So He knows it all. But when He was on this earth, He was like us in the sense that He didn't know everything and couldn't reveal everything. Now, does He teach a whole lot? You better believe it. We're going to look at it today, actually. He taught a whole lot about the future, but He didn't know it all. Well, guess what? We can know a lot, but we ain't going to know it all. So in that sense, we're like Christ on this earth. Does that make sense? Probably not. Probably threw you for a loop there, but I hope that makes sense. Okay, let me say one more thing. I'm saying a lot to introduce this, but this is important to understand the book of Revelation, especially the book of Revelation. Okay, in just a minute, we're going to start reading some verses. And we're going to read about the Apostle John who pens this letter, who writes it down. Okay, when John was given this letter, where was he given it? Where did he write this down? Where did he see all the things that we read about in this book? The Bible says he was caught up. He was taken up to heaven. Okay, so John is writing this letter not from an earthly perspective, but from what? A heavenly perspective. Let me tell you something. There's a big difference in a heavenly perspective and an earthly perspective. Correct? Yeah, there's a big difference. Okay? Okay, for us, the biggest difference that we're going to struggle with as we look at Revelation, the biggest difference is the difference of time. Okay? On this earth, we understand time, correct? We understand past, present, and future. That's how we tell time. I mean, we just talked about a baby being born and being 5 days old. Okay? That baby was born 5 days ago. That baby has lived 5 days, and there's going to be a future for that baby, right? We understand linear time. Well, do you understand in heaven there is no time? There's just eternity. There is no time. Okay, so again, when John writes this letter, he's writing it from what perspective? A heavenly perspective where there is what? No time. But what do we want to know? When is that going to happen? We want to know that, right? The day, the hour, the second. That's what we want to know. You ain't going to know that. And you ain't going to figure that out. Because that's not how this is written. Make sense? Okay, now that doesn't mean that we can't know the season. We can know the season according to Jesus Christ Himself. So we can know generalities even if we can't know specifics. Okay? I mean, does that help a little bit? I hope it helps a little bit. I'll explain it more as we get in and we get into detail of certain things. But time is not going to be your friend as we study the book of Revelation. It's just not. Because it's not written that way. even though everybody has tried to explain it that way. They've missed it. Because you can't. Because to God, what is a day like? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. Okay? Do you see the difference in time perspectives from God to us? That's an eternal perspective. We don't have that yet. We don't have it. Our life is a vapor, a poof of smoke. Here today, gone tomorrow. That's what the Bible says. And so you have to understand that as we get into this book and as we try to explain it. Okay? So that's just a little bit in the way of introduction, just to try to set up how I'm going to interpret it, how I'm going to look at it, how I'm going to try to explain it to you. Okay? So now let's look at just a little bit, and I'm sure we won't get through much, but let's look at a little bit just so that I can continue to introduce, and then next week we'll get into a little bit more of the weeds. But look at what the Bible says there in verse 1. It says this. It says, "This is a revelation of or from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show servants the events that soon must take place." Okay, just real quick. So the reason this book is entitled Revelation is because of the first verse. Because what is this book? Well, it is a revelation. Okay, that word in Greek is just the Greek word apokalypsis. Okay, you've probably heard that word in English because all we have is a transliteration of that in English, apocalypse. So you've heard about apocalypse, or you've seen movies about apocalypse, or read books about the apocalypse. But in our mind, when we think about an apocalyptic event, what do we think? Well, we think disaster, and we think all these horrific things. That's not what revelation means. That's not what apocalypsis means. The only thing revelation truly means is it just means to unveil or to unmask. It just means taking a sheet off. Like if you're going to unveil a statue, and I remember this. I remember when they built a statue of Nick Saban after he won his first national championship right in front of Bryant-Denny Stadium, and they were unveiling it. They had a sheet over it, and they dropped the sheet and unveiled the statue. Do you remember seeing that on TV? Okay, that's what revelation is. That's all revelation means. Apocalypsis, it just means to unveil. Okay, and so what are we unveiling? Are we unveiling the future? No. What are we unveiling? Well, it tells you there. This is a revelation of whom? Okay, so revelation is unveiling Jesus Christ to you. This is a book about Christ Jesus and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what this book is about. And so understand that. This book is not about the future. It is about Christ Jesus. Now, does it tell us about the future and tell us some things that are going to take place and things that are taking place now? Yes, it tells us those things. But primarily, this revelation is of Christ Jesus. And that's what we need to get our head around. We're studying Christ. And who should be studying? Well, it says there, a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that soon must take place. Okay, now that word servant there is just the word bond slave. And so if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, what are you? You're a bond slave to Christ. You are a servant to Christ Jesus. So whom is this book for? You. It's for followers of Christ Jesus. It is not for anyone else. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit of God to enlighten you, I wouldn't recommend reading this book because you sure ain't going to understand it because it's not for you. It is for those of us who have been bought with a price and we are now servants of Christ Jesus. This book is for us. And let me tell you something. This book is not here to scare you or to confuse you. Do you know what this book is for? To give you hope. That's what this book is for. To give you hope that He truly is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And everything in God's Word is going to happen exactly the way He said it's going to happen. That's what this book is for. To give you hope. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's what it's going to do. Now, here's another thing we kind of get wrong here, because it says the events that soon must take place. Okay, I know when you read that, you're thinking about that in present tense. And you're thinking about that, well, what's going to happen is going to happen soon, because Revelation tells us what's going to happen. That's not what this verse is saying. And there are, and we won't get too deep into the weeds with Greek, but what this verse is only saying is when these things happen that the book of Revelation talks about, they will basically happen quickly. Okay? And that's what it means soon there. They're going to take place at a pretty quick clip, a pretty rapid rate. When everything starts that we're going to read about, it's going to happen quickly. Now again, remember, what perspective are we reading this from? Okay, so quickly in a heavenly perspective is not the same as quickly in an earthly perspective, right? Okay, if I think about quickly in my life, I quickly need to eat lunch because I'm hungry. What do I mean by that? I'm eating now. Okay, this is going to take several years for this to play out. That's not quick to us, is it? Is it quick to God? Well, a day is like what? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So is it quick to God? It's pretty quick to God, because He's eternal. We're not. So again, linear time is going to mess you up when we study Revelation. We're going to talk about linear time, but you can't look at everything in Revelation from a linear perspective, from a timeline perspective, okay? So that's what that verse means. Okay, this is, he goes on there. He says, He sent an angel to present this revelation to His servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. Okay, of course, this is the Apostle John. This is the John we read about in the Gospels. This is the John who wrote what book? The book of John. Also wrote some other books right before the book of Revelation. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, okay? This is that John. Okay, this is the apostle who was probably the youngest of all the other apostles. And by this point, guess what's happened to all the other apostles as John is writing the book of Revelation? They gone, okay? They're done. And every one of them was martyred for their faith. Every one of them. And the Apostle John, they even tried to martyr him. The Roman emperor sent him to his death, and they put him in a vat of boiling oil, but John didn't die. Okay? He didn't die. Now, why didn't he die? Because God wasn't done with him. Okay? If you don't know this yet or not, you need to figure this out. Your days are numbered on this earth. And God is the one who numbered them. Not your doctor, not your dietitian, not your physical therapist. I don't care who you go to for better health or whatever it is. God numbered your days. Okay? When God says your time's up, guess what? Your time's up. I don't care if you're the healthiest person on this earth. But when God says your time's not up, guess what? Your time's not up, and I don't care what the doctor says that you got stage 5 or whatever it is. God numbers your days. And when God's done with you on this earth, He will take you to heaven if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. But until that point, you're invincible. Now, I wouldn't do something stupid to test that, but you're invincible, okay? Because God chooses, and God uses you for a purpose. Amen? I hope you know what that purpose is. I can tell you, by the way, if you need it, because I've got God's Word. I can tell you. But He wasn't done with John. So in the Roman Empire, which a lot of our laws are based on, by the way, you know that. I hope you know that. They had a form of double jeopardy. You couldn't be sentenced for the same crime twice. So they couldn't martyr John again a second time because they didn't kill him the first time. So they exiled him to an island, and it was the island of Patmos. Now, don't think about this like a Caribbean island where he just went and laid on the beach and had a good time. It's a rock. It's literally a rock. You can go see it to this day. It is a rock. And it was a place where they exiled political prisoners, basically. So if you had another politician you didn't like, they sent you to the Isle of Patmos. I wish we could do that today. But they did it then. And so John was exiled there. And it's while he is on this island, the Isle of Patmos, that he is taken up to heaven and given the revelation that we read about. So that is this apostle, the Apostle John. Now, really important, I want you to remember something about John, because this is going to be important as we read the book of Revelation. What disciple was Jesus closest to on this earth? It was John. And we know that few instances, but especially towards the end of Jesus' life. At the Last Supper, do you know the disciple sitting closest to Jesus? It was John, and John tells us that. And he doesn't specifically say it, but he's writing about himself in third person, okay? And he's actually leaning against Jesus' side at the Last Supper. Now, just so you understand what's happening there, don't think about Leonardo da Vinci's That Last Supper is not even close. They reclined around tables, a square table, and they would always recline on their left, and they would eat with their right. And that's how they would eat. And so Jesus is reclining on his left arm. John is at his right side, reclining on Jesus. And they're eating with their right hand. Okay, so now think about just biblical context there. Where is Jesus at this moment? He's at the right hand of whom? Right hand's pretty significant, right? Okay, so the Apostle John at the Last Supper is at the right side of Jesus. Okay, at the cross, all the disciples are gone except for one, the Apostle John. And Jesus speaks to him from the cross. And this is what he says, "Son, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son," talking to the Apostle John. So he gave the care of Mary to the Apostle John. "Take care of my mom. Take care of her." Okay, so Apostle John is pretty important to Christ Jesus. And so this is whom Jesus gives this revelation to the Apostle John to write down for us to read 2,000 years later. So, I mean, it's very important. We'll talk more about that as we go on into Revelation, but very important. So that's who is writing these words. And not only did he write these words, it says there in verse 2, "who faithfully reported everything he saw." Now, this is important not just in Revelation, but in the whole Bible, the whole context of the Bible. Did John write things that he thought were going to happen or he thought might be a good idea that God should do? What did he write down? He only faithfully reported what he saw, what he was told directly from God. He didn't get wild hairs and write down things that, well, maybe a dragon would fit good in this place. So let's write in a dragon. He didn't know what a dragon was. Okay, this all he writes is what he is told to write. Because I tell you this, if you're in my church all the time, God's word is not the ideas of man. It is not the thoughts of man. It is not even writing down what man said. And please don't understand this. When God gave us His Word, He didn't inspire. That's, we say that a lot. He didn't inspire Scripture and write down through men Scripture. He did not do that. Because the word inspiration in Latin means breathe into. That's not what God did. God didn't breathe into the Apostle Paul and then Paul write down something on this page. Because do you know what can happen in the moments between breathing in and writing down? Well, things can change because I can change them, because my mind can wander or my mind can say, well, this word might sound better than that word that God said. And that can happen. That's not what God did. That's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says, what Paul says in 2 Timothy, is that God breathed out His word. He breathed it out on this page. This page is the breath of God. So this is not the interpretation of man. It is the breath of God on these pages. And so that's what God's word is saying here. John faithfully reported only what he saw and what God put down on these pages. So that's verse 2. Look at verse 3. It says, "God blesses The one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church. Now, what am I doing to you right now? I'm reading the words of prophecy to you. So this is what a pastor does, an elder. This is what a bishop, this is what they do for the church. They read the words of Scripture, the words of prophecy to you, and try to explain God's word to you. So that's what I'm doing. So I'm doing the book of Revelation because I want to be blessed. But guess what? It goes on. And he blesses all who listen to this message. So who's that? That's you. But he says something else. That's pretty important tagline. He blesses those who listen to the message and what? Hey, I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that listen to messages and don't obey it. And there's a whole lot of them in the church. And I could give you a test right now to prove it, but I won't do that. But there's a lot of people that listen to the message of God and don't obey it. Every one of us in this room are guilty of that. Amen? If you're not, you're guilty because you're a liar. Okay, so we're all guilty of that. But he says he blesses those who listen and obey. What it says, for the time is what? Okay, now, that's a different phrase than when we looked at soon just a moment ago, and where we said soon or the events in Revelation take place. This is talking about the time when all of this is going to start is close at hand. It is near. And I understand that every believer who has ever lived on this earth has believed that the time is near for the return of Christ Jesus in their lifetime. Understand that. Guess what I believe? I believe the return of Christ Jesus is very near in my lifetime. Guess what? I'm a lot closer than they were. They were wrong. Now, maybe I'll be wrong too, but I don't think so. And I'm going to show you why as we study this book and why I believe that when and what this book talks about can happen at any moment. And this is crucial. Two verses. And I was going to do a lot more, but we'll do it next week. Two verses of Scripture that will become very important to us. The first one, let me just read it to you. It's out of the book of 2 Peter. And it's talking about where we just quoted it several times, that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. But Peter tells us something that's very important here, and I want you to hear it. I'm 2 Peter 3. You can just listen. But the reference, 2 Peter, I'm going to start reading in verse 7. This is what Peter says. And he says, by the same word. Okay? Does God speak? Yeah, let's look what happens. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. Okay, that's where we're living right now, the present. We're living in the present. They have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. What is that talking about? The book of Revelation. We're going to read about the day of judgment where ungodly people will be destroyed. Now, does that mean that God's judgment is not taking place right now? Does it mean that? God still judges right now. And whom does he judge? Ungodly people. Okay, but here's the problem for us as godly people. Do we get some of the consequences of that judgment? Yeah, we do. And guess what that is? That's just the consequence of sin. And we won't read it, but go read Romans chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1 talks about the judgment of God. And I know when we think about the judgment of God, we always think back Old Testament, we think back Noah and the ark. We think back Sodom and Gomorrah, and we think fire falling from heaven or a flood. That's how we think of the judgment of God. But how many times do you read that in the Bible? Not very often. So how is God judged for century after century after century after century? Well, Romans 1 tells you. He says, I've made it known who I am. Even the sky and the earth tells you But people choose not to worship me, and they choose to worship the creation rather than the creator. And he goes, Paul just goes through this litany of things. And then he says, for those who abandon God and abandon the worship of God, what does God do? He just abandons them. He turns them over. He lets them go. And what does he let them go to? Their own desires, whatever their heart desires. And then they live with the consequences of that. And they live with the consequences of that sin. And that's how God judges on this earth. And we experience some of that. Even though God hasn't abandoned us, because what are we if you're a follower of Jesus Christ? You're the godly. He doesn't abandon you. The Bible says he never forsakes you. But we live with some of the ramifications of God's judgment on this earth. That's why you see murders and people being hit by drunk drivers. And on and on and on we could go, right? It's the judgment of God. So God judges in this present day. But one day, and I believe the time is near, he will judge the way the book of Revelation says he's going to judge. And I'm just telling you, if you think the judgment of God is bad now, just wait till some of the things we talk about and read in the book of Revelation. So why is God not judging that way now? We'll keep reading what his word says. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promises, some people think. No, he is being what? Patient. And thank God, he is patient. Amen? Aren't you glad he's a patient God? Aren't you glad he was patient with you? Praise God, he was patient with me, and he's still patient with me. He is patient for your sake, because he doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to come to repentance. And keep reading, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. That's what we're reading about in Revelation. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in a fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. Okay, I could talk a lot more, but let me just tell you this. The reason we're studying the book of Revelation is not so you can understand the future. It is so that you will live faithful in the present. Okay? Because that's what God has called us to do. Live faithful in the present and live godly and holy lives, every one of you, to prepare yourself and to be ready for the bridegroom to come from his bride. We'll talk about this next week. He's coming for his bride, and you better be ready, because 1 John tells us, John writes this, same person that wrote the book of Revelation, that when Jesus Christ comes back, one of two things is going to happen. You will either shrink back in shame, or you will stand there in courage. Okay? Every follower of Christ, that's a warning too, because you're either going to be ashamed when Jesus Christ comes, or you're going to be standing there ready and waiting for him. Okay, and that's what Peter's trying to tell us. We must live godly and holy lives. Why? Because number one, that's what we're called. But number two, what can we do if we obey the word of God and if we live godly and holy lives? We can hurry the coming of the Lord. We can make it come quicker. Have you ever thought about that? Who is dependent on Jesus Christ coming back? Today, next week, or 50,000 years from now. It's on you and me. It's not on God. Now, that one blows our mind, right? We don't like that. But God is being patient. And why is he being patient? Because he doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be saved. Now, we know according to the Bible, even the book of Revelation, is that going to be reality? No. But that's why he's being patient. And he has placed you on this earth, and he has placed you in a church to do what? To make sure that people won't be destroyed but will come to repentance. And that's why you are placed on this earth, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell your family and to tell your friends and to tell your neighbors the good news of Christ Jesus. And when you do that, and when I do that, and when the church collectively does that, do you know what's going to happen? Jesus Christ is going to come. How do I know? Well, go read Matthew 24, 14. Go read it. Do you know what Jesus Christ says? He says in Matthew 24 that something must take place before he comes back. Do you know what must take place? The nations must hear something. What must they hear? They must hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And then what can take place? Then the end will come, the coming of Christ Jesus. Is he going to come back before the nations hear? No, he says it. Well, whom is it dependent upon for the nations to hear? You. The church, followers of Christ Jesus. So if you want Christ Jesus to come back, you can make it happen. I can make it happen. And how do we make it happen? By making him known. And guess what I want to happen? I want Christ Jesus to come back. Because guess what I'm tired of? I'm tired of this place. I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of hearing about politicians, and I'm sick about hearing about all the garbage in our society and all the sin and all the horrific things that I read about and see about every day of my life. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of going to places like I went last week and I walked in a garbage dump and people were living in the garbage dump and they were eating what they could find in the garbage dump. I'm sick of that. Because it's not the way God intended it. When God made this place, he made it perfect. And he made you perfect and me perfect. And he gave us dominion and rule over it all. And he said, it is yours. And he says, I want to walk with you and talk with you. He said, guys, there's only one thing not to do. And guess what? The one thing we did. Of course, we sinned. And now we have spiraled out of control concerning sin. And you know what this earth is like for me? It's like the prodigal son in the distant land. Because this is where I'm living right now. I'm living with the pigs, and I'm living in pig slop. And so are you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. But thank God the prodigal son came to his senses. And what did he start thinking about? He started thinking about home. That's what he started thinking about. And he started thinking about the things he used to eat and the places he used to sleep and what he got to do with his dad. That's what he started thinking about. And what did that cause him to do? Caused him to get off his butt and start walking home. That's what it did. And as he walked home, what did his father do? He ran to him and he welcomed him and he wrapped his arms around him and he welcomed him what? Back home. My son who was lost is now found. That's how I feel about this earth. And I'm dreaming about home. And my home is not this place. Thank God the Bible says my home is where? It is in heaven, and it is with God, and it is with God eternal. And I will be there forever one day. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Even if I can't wrap my mind about that. That's where I'm going, and that's my home. But right now I'm like that prodigal son who's living in slop, and I'm tired of it. And I hope you're tired of it too. And I hope enough people are tired of it that we will get up and we will obey God's word and obey the voice that give it to us. And we will just simply do what this book says. And we will make him known. And we will go to the nations, to the end of the earth. And we will tell all people so all people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Many of them will be saved. I know many of them will not, but many of them will. And then what will happen? The end will come. Jesus Christ will return to this earth. And he will catch me up in the sky. And then you know what he will do according to Luke chapter 12? He will put a towel around his waist and he will serve me. The wedding feast of the Lamb. And then I will be with God forever. And that's true for you if you are a follower of Christ Jesus. Because that's what my Bible says. Does yours say it? Well, if you got the same Bible I got, it says it. So read it and obey it. And what's the promise? God will bless you. He will bless you. He will bless you. So that's why we're studying Revelation. And it's going to be good because we see the heart of God. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, we love you.